Today is the darkest day in history. Today, when tied with Resurrection Sunday and all that Jesus has accomplished, is the greatest day in history. And we have come to grieve, to rejoice, and to understand and experience what this means. And it's not easy. For as difficult as it was for those who knew Jesus well then, it is difficult for us to understand why the God of the universe would suffer. How does this make any sense? If we understand the depth of our own sin, then the question becomes even more personally, why would he suffer for me? This love that is so rich, so profound, and so visible today should overwhelm us, should cause us to realign everything else with it, and should give us purpose, passion, joy, and a life that aligns with what he desires. And yet so often we forget. We forget what we deserve. We forget what Jesus has done. And we can sometimes live our lives as though the meaning of this day is secondary. And that in itself should cause us to grieve. So today, as we have sung and heard rich scriptures read and words that I hope have gone directly to our hearts, we want to also reflect on a few scriptures with a longing not to teach you something new, although some here might need that as well, but rather to force us to reflect on the grossness and greatness of this day. And to do so, I hope, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in a way that not only allows us to delight in the richness of the love of God, to be, as it were, inside destroyed at what we have caused in our own sin, but then to rise and dedicate our lives completely to him. Why did Jesus do this? The answer most profoundly given, and perhaps you know this most well, we will not cover today, and that is love. This demonstration of the love of God, we will come back to this as we seek to apply it. But when we ask the why question, the answer that the Bible profoundly gives in Hebrews 9:22, is that we need Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' shed blood for forgiveness. Forgiveness means that I have a debt that has been removed. Forgiveness means that I can be reconciled to God. That it means, in the context of the shedding of blood, that as is stated in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we could ask the question, and 1 Corinthians 15 asks the question in light of the resurrection of Jesus, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and then make some strong statements. We could reflect on Hebrews 9 and ask, if Jesus did not die, if Jesus did not suffer the shame, the slander, the separation from God, the hell we deserve, what difference would that make? And the answer is, we could not be forgiven. The wrath of God would remain on us, and we would spend eternity in hell. I wonder sometimes if one of the reasons we forget of the richness of this day in light of its grossness is because we don't understand the wages of sin, or if we do, we understand only in our minds and not experience that in our hearts. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. And in light of what Jesus has done for us, in light of what we are rejoicing and suffering through today, this death was something that now, because of Jesus, we don't have to experience if we have faith in Him. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. And so, if we understand that we have sinned and fallen short of His glory, then we not only weep because of what He did for us, but we rejoice. Forgiveness. There's also in the Bible a strange word that is used to answer the why question, and it's the word freedom. We tend to understand forgiveness perhaps better than we understand freedom, because so often we believe we're born free, that freedom is a right, and yet as you read the Bible, we discover that those who are born in sin, which is every man and woman, those people are slaves to sin. And the Bible says that if the Son has set you free, the Son being Jesus, you shall be free indeed. Forgiveness brings not only with it a reconciled relationship with the Father, but a freedom from what binds us, all of us, or I suppose, if we've experienced this love, what bound us. This is a freedom that comes with full surrender. This is a freedom that demands that we give up all of our rights except the right to be called children of God at the foot of the cross. And we worship, we bow down, we rest in what He has done for us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 would state it like this. And again, remember this in the context of the Son setting you free. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. In other words, this forgiveness brings about a relationship with God that frees us from the bondage of sin and a will that was given over to sin and the world, and allows us to now surrender fully to Jesus. I love 1 Peter, the memory verses this month. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who has called you is holy, so also be holy in all you do, all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time, the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways and inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We ask why, and it was to forgive. It was to give us freedom so that we could glorify God as we follow. As we follow Him. Today is not just about grieving, and I hope you have grieved as we have sung and prayed and interacted. The pain that Jesus went through marks something that is worse than anything else in history. Worse than terrorists attacking Israel. Worse than September 11th. Worse than world wars. And it also marks something more precious than anything you could possibly imagine. And when we experience this love, 2 Corinthians 5:14 tells us that we will be compelled. We will be those who then say with great joy, I will follow. I am free, and I will choose to give my life in full surrender to Jesus. His blood purchased my forgiveness, my freedom, and my devotion. So what does that look like for us on a day like today? Well, I hope. A time of reflection. As we read the story, may I encourage you to, with your families or friends or people you are with, or if it's just yourself, take the time to read verses like that again and to reflect on what Jesus did for you. Take time to understand and believe that what he did was not only wonderful in terms of doing the will of God with joy that was set before him, but also accomplished in the wealth of his grace all that we need for forgiveness and freedom and following. We were led in a prayer of confession. It's a time for us to also realign our lives with God, to repent, to renew our first love devotion to him because of what he has done for us. I hope that as we celebrate today and then as we rejoice in the fullness of what the resurrection of Jesus means on Sunday, that it will be more than just a tradition. More than just something we do on a Friday or a Sunday, but will introduce us to a reality that is greater than anything that has happened ever in history. That God loved us this much. That God demonstrated his love for us in this way should not only cause us to weep and to rejoice, but then in freedom and the fullness of his forgiveness, find that peace and passion that changes everything else. So today, we have reflected. We have sung. We have looked at a few passages of Scripture, but really all of history will point to this day or look back at this day so that the glory and wealth of grace will be on display for all eternity. We need to believe. We need to respond. We need to worship. We need to live as those who have the freedom that Jesus has given. So allow the heaviness of this day, the darkness, allow that to impact your own heart and to see the depth of your own sin, the consequence of that sin that Jesus paid. Oh, when we read of what Jesus went through, and I thought so effectively read today, there is a horror of shame. The parade through town, the loss of clothing, the crucifixion with those who are the worst enemies of that culture. The shame of crucifixion. Oh, there is intense physical pain. In fact, crucifixion was designed to give maximum pain for a long period of time. And those things for Jesus were intense. But far more severe. And why we are here is not the physical or the emotional, but the spiritual. And so we remind ourselves that he who knew no sin became sin. The shout from the cross, the separation from God, the punishment I deserve on Jesus. We would be right to remember that the hell that sin purchases, he took upon himself. That the pain of the cross, although intense emotionally and physically, was far superseded by his taking upon himself the wrath of God. And so as we reflect, we weep for what our sin caused. And we rejoice in the love of such a great God. And we rest that this price has been paid in full so we can have that peace and freedom and forgiveness. And then in radical obedience, we say to this Savior, to this triune God, I'm yours. Use me as you will. Forgiven, free, and falling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, we thank you for coming. Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving our Lord the strength to endure the cross. As we reflect, we need your power to experience the depth of the grossness and glory of this day. So I pray that your Spirit would enliven and deepen our understanding of your love, that we might leave this place overwhelmed with grief, glorying in your name, submitting to you fully, and then living our lives on mission for you. Hallelujah. What a Savior. In Jesus' name.